Take your Bible this morning, if you will, and let's go to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, if you will, in your Bible. Just turn over there, Isaiah chapter 12, and we're going to read from the Word of God a couple of verses, and then we'll forget about them, and I'll just preach whatever I want to. No, we're not going to do that. All right. We're not going to do that. I do remember one time going to a service, and the preacher read his scripture, and he preached. And after he got through, me and the fellow next to us looked at going with me. We said, what did that have to do with what he read when he started? Because it didn't seem to refer to it at all. So we're going to try to preach you the Bible this morning, all right? Amen. Try to preach you the Word of God. Hope it'll be a blessing to you, all right? Chapter 12, if you will, we're going to begin reading. Well, let's read verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. I want you to notice the Word of God. The first word in verse 3 is therefore. That relates to what happened in verse 2, all right? Because of verse 2, then we can enjoy verse 3, all right? But you got to have verse 2 before you can enjoy verse 3. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but if you were to turn to the fourth chapter of John, the Gospel of John, you'll find the account of our Lord and our Savior who went to a well to meet with a woman. And he went to meet with a woman who was thirsty. Now, she didn't realize how thirsty she was, all right? But he talked to her of water that would forevermore quench her thirst. And when he talked about that, she said, give me that water. But I find ourselves, here we are 2,000 plus years later, and so many people have never learned that great truth. They travel through life thirsty, they're troubled, they're tired. Listen, friend, you don't have to go through life like that. All right? You just don't have to go through life and suffer so and going along that way. The truth of the matter is you can spend your life freely drawing water from the wells of salvation. And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning, is drawing water from the wells, all right? Drawing water from the wells. We're going to talk to you, I'll give you the outline real quick. We'll talk to you about acceptance, access, and attitude, all right? Now don't already make up your mind, I ain't listening when we get to that point, all right? Don't do that to me. Stay with me the whole way this morning. All right, first of all, access. Look, you cannot draw water from a well that hasn't been dug. Now, I know that's profound wisdom, all right? But you cannot draw water from a well that hasn't been dug, all right? In the same way, you cannot draw water from the wells of salvation until you've been born again. You can't do it. That's why I mentioned to you that word therefore in verse 3. Therefore, it says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Not until he has become my salvation. And until that time, you can't draw that water, all right? Our Lord simply asks us to trust him. You look at verse 2, would you? Verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will trust. I just trust him. Folks, do you understand that's what God wants you to do? God just wants you to trust him. Hey, pick anywhere in the Bible, flip through it, put your finger down, and there's a good chance you're going to land in a spot in the Word of God where God is wanting somebody to trust him. You just trust him. When he called Abraham, he just wanted Abraham to trust him. When Joseph was sold into slavery, when he was put into prison, God just wanted Joseph to trust him. I mean, that was it. Just trust him. You take the whole nation of Israel, the children of Israel, during the Exodus and All of that, all that God wanted them to do was trust Him. Trust Him. Man, you get into Daniel and the great story of Daniel and his prayer, and he realized, if I pray, they're going to cast me into the den of lions. He said, what did God want Daniel to do? Trust Him. Trust Him. Hey, we can come to right now, right here today, you, where you sit, say, what does God want me to do? He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to trust Him. Obviously, the first thing is He wants you to trust Him for salvation, for your eternal soul. He wants you to come to Him. And that's what Isaiah is saying. He said, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Why? Because I trusted Him. I trusted Him. Hey, listen, until you trust Him and ask Him to save your soul, things are going to be the same. But if you'll ever learn to trust Him, everything can and will change. If you'll just learn to come to Him, all right? You'll learn to come to Him. Hey, that coming to Him gives you access to the wells of salvation, all right? It is coming to Him. If you do it, the weak become strong. The sad and the silent get a song. You notice that's what it said there in verse 2. He said, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and He's my song. He's my song. Why? Because I trusted Him. Trusted Him. I feel sorry for people today who don't trust the Lord. The only song you've got to sing is the junk the world sings. Good heavens, what a mess. What an absolute mess. You know, think about the stuff you listen to. Now, some of you, there may be exceptions, but think about what you listen to. How much does it edify you? How much closer to God does it bring you? That stuff you listen to. Brother Chester was talking to me this morning about the music that he hears where he works. He said, man, there's nothing God-honoring about that, all right? Nothing God-honoring about that. Oh, what a shame. But Lord, if you'll trust Him, He'll put a different song in your mouth, all right? If you'll trust Him. And if you'll trust Him, that's the way to get access. Because the last line, the last phrase of verse 2 said, He had also become my salvation. Therefore, because He's my salvation, I've got access to some wells. You hear me? I've got access to some wells. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. With salvation comes access. Hey, how do you get it? Well, you got to draw every time. Hey, when I think of a well, now I realize there's different wells, okay? Down in Florida, they had artesian wells, and man, it was just almost like stick a pipe in the ground and water shot out, okay? But the truth is, when I think of a well, I think of my grandpa's farm in Georgia. My grandpa's farm in Georgia had a brick wall, a block wall around it about this high. Well, it's that high on me when I was a kid anyway, all right? And I could just barely look over it and down into the water. And the way you accessed it was there was a bucket. There was a bucket. I want to talk to you about the buckets that you need to draw water out of the wells of salvation, all right? You see, I think there's three buckets, but we'll just do them. There's the bucket, if you will, of the throne of God. You say, do what? There's the bucket of the throne of God. Take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4, would you? Over there in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4. If you get to James, you need to back up, all right? If you're at 1st and 2nd Corinthians or the Thessalonians, you hadn't gone far enough, all right? Keep moving there till you get to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, there is an absolutely amazing verse. The last verse in Hebrews chapter 4 says, Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hey, the bucket of the throne of God. Hey, you say, what are you talking about? We're talking about prayer. We're talking about prayer. Do you realize when you get saved, after you're saved, you have access to the throne of God? You've got access. And that verse said we can come boldly. Now, not arrogantly, but we can come boldly. We don't have to crawl in. We can walk in, all right, and we can come to Him. Hey, you get a little thirsty? You have a need? Just come boldly to Him and ask, knowing that He'll hear and He'll answer. Hey, there's that bucket that'll get it into the well of salvation. I can come to Him and I can ask for what I need. I have a need. You're thirsty in some way, thirsting for something. Hey, listen, we don't pray and remain thirsty. If we do, it's not God's fault, all right? Not God's fault. We don't pray and remain thirsty. Water from the well of salvation is available, but we just got to come. We've just got to come. You got to come seeking for that. It's not enough you to say, well, God knows. Well, He does, but He's told us to come and ask. He's told us, yeah, He knows before you ask, but He still wants you to ask. Come on, parents. You got your kids. You knew your kids. You could tell when they came what they were fixing to ask for, right? You knew what they were going to ask for. Did you say, don't ask, I'll just get it? I want them to ask. I like my grandkids to ask. There's a jug of peanut M&Ms on top of the refrigerator. You said, why are they there? Really, they're there for the grandkids. Now, I keep catching my wife going to that jug, all right? But they're there for the grandkids, all right? They're there for the grandkids. And, yeah, occasionally I slip my hand in that jug too, all right? But they're there for the grandkids. All they need to do is, hey, Grandpa, can I have some M&Ms? Yeah. Now, if I get in there and see them eyeing them, I don't say, you want some? No. I'm waiting on you to ask. Listen, don't you know you've got a heavenly Father that loves you? He knows what you need before you ask, but He said you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You don't come. You don't ask. Hey, listen, you want to draw some water. You're a little thirsty. You have a need. There's the bucket of the throne of grace, the bucket of prayer. You can come to Him and get some water to help you. All right? Get some water to help you. There's also another bucket. That bucket is the Word of God. The Word of God. You see, God's given us some things that'll help us when we're thirsty. He's given us some things that'll help us if we're thirsty. It talks about the water of the Word. The Bible describes it that way. The water of the Word. Just take a drink from the water of the Word. Man, I stand up here, I preach to you, and I nag at you, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. And I have people, I don't like to read. Who cares? Read your Bible. Read it anyway. Read it anyway. No matter if you like to read or not, just read it. Read it. Why? Because it'll give you some water. It'll give you some water. It'll give you what you need, all right? It will give that to you, all right? A lost man can't get it. A lost man can sit down with this book and read it and get nothing to speak of. I've had people say, I've read the Bible. Oh, yeah, there's a problem, you see. The problem is the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 that these things are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. The reason people don't get anything, they can read the Bible, so I don't get anything out of it. If you tell me that, I'm a little suspect. That's almost like you coming to me and saying, preacher, I ain't saved. You see, God wrote the book. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And He said, Jesus Christ said, when He comes, He will guide you into all truth. And one thing He does, He'll help you when you read this book. It's spiritually discerned. Now, you say, preacher, you understand everything you read, not on your life. No, sir. I read some of this book, and I go, man, I wonder what the Lord's trying to tell me. And I pray and I ask him, and I still say, I wonder what the Lord's trying to tell me. I hadn't got it all figured out, not at all. I remember a guy whose books, I had a lot of his books, and he had written a book on the minor prophets for the first part of the minor prophets, all right? Those are Old Testament books, all right? After the book of Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, those are minor prophets, okay? He had written a book about some of them, and they said, when's volume 2 coming out? He said, as soon as I get it figured out. Said, I don't know what it says. I've got some of his books, and I appreciate his honesty because he gets to some places, and he said, I really don't know what the Lord's saying here. Other guys just make it up and write it down, all right? Listen to me. You read that book, and it'll give you water. You need a little water from the wells of salvation. You find yourself in life just a little bit thirsty, get this book out. Get this book out. Read it a little bit. Hey, if you're saved, you can come to the Bible, the book of God. You can ask the Holy Spirit of God for guidance and help. Man, how refreshing it is to get into the Word of God and just gulp it down. Oh, man, what a blessing it is. It'll pick you up. It'll encourage you. It'll motivate you. It'll stir you. You just got to read it, all right? Hey, with joy, drawing water out of the well of salvation. How? Well, the bucket of prayer, get to the throne of grace. The bucket of the Word of God to get the mind of God. Open up to you and feed your soul, man. Give that soul what it thirsts for. But there's a third bucket. That's the house of God. Listen, the Lord put the church here for a reason. Man, is it forevermore a refreshing place for the child of God? What a refreshing place to come to church. I don't know when y'all come, I don't know how you feel. When I come to the house of God, I'm always refreshed. Now, sometimes I go and the preacher skins my hide, all right? Man, he just lays it to me and the Holy Spirit takes what he says and said, hey, boy, are you listening? I'm talking to you. You need to fix this. He said, how's that refreshing when you're made to feel guilty? All the refreshing comes is when you come and you confess. And you get right, you get clean, and then you're refreshed, all right? Hey, it's the house of God. Can I say this to you? Attendance is not optional for the child of God. It is not an option. It is not something that you ought to get up on Sunday, or, hey, even go to bed on Saturday night. Well, the question, are we going to church tomorrow? Hey, it ought to be settled. It ought to be settled. I just want to tell you, the 17th Sunday in the year 2027, I'm planning to be in the house of God right now, if I live that long. So what if you don't live that long? I'm going to be with God, all right? I'm just going to be with Him, all right? Now, hey, listen, the house of God, attendance is not optional. Not optional, all right? Hebrews 10:25. Let me just read it to you, all right? I was going to quote it, but I thought, no. We'll open the Word of God, Hebrews 10:25, all right? Hebrews 10:25. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I find it interesting. You got your Bible open right there? I want you to look at the next verse. Because the next verse says, for if we sin willfully, willful sin. I wonder if some of that willful sin is not, well, we ain't going today. We're not going to church today. You know, I don't feel real good. I sometimes get up in the morning and I'll tell my wife, I say, I don't feel good. I said, I don't feel bad, I just don't feel good. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, all right? But I feel that way. So when I feel that way, I go back to bed. No, I don't. I just keep on, all right? I keep on whatever day it is. I don't feel all that good. You say, what do you do? Well, just keep on. I ain't dead, you know, all right? And you can do things when you don't feel all that good. And you say, were you sick? No, just didn't feel good. And some of you young people, you say, I ain't never felt that way. You live long enough, you will. You live long enough, you'll feel that way. Hey, listen, we're commanded to go. God knew you would need a local church. He knew it. So when he was here, he started it. He started it. He instituted the local church. And then he commanded saved people to go. That verse doesn't say, just go a little bit. It says, and so much the more. As you see the day approaching, that day approaching is the day of the Lord. Now that day is rapidly approaching. That means we ought to be there more. Why? Because you can draw some water out of that well. Hey, listen, we live in such a dark hour. We live in such a wicked, wicked day. We live in a day of discouragement, a day of depression, day of trouble, day of heartache. We need to be in the house of God. We need to come. Why? It's the only place. It is the only place you can regularly find fellowship with believers. The only place you can regularly find fellowship with believers. You gather in the local church. This local church, you can come 3 times a week and sometimes more. You can come at least 3 times a week. What do? Well, we have fellowship with believers. Hey, listen, that is so good. There is nothing like fellowship with other believers. It'll help you. It'll help you. You'll find somebody that'll put an arm around you and say, man, I love you, and I'm praying for you. You can make it. You can make it. Or you can find somebody that'll put an arm around you and say, boy, isn't God, hadn't he been good to you? Man, he's blessed you. Brother Dunbar got that new baby at home. Something to keep you up at night, all right? Oh, what a blessing you have, all right? God's been good to you. Just encourage you, all right? Just encourage you. Just to come along and to say, hey, it's not always going to be this tough. Not always going to be this tough. Hey, listen, you get out there in this whole world, it's easy for you to get to feeling like Elijah. Old Elijah got down in the mouth. He had made Jezebel mad. She is after him. She said, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah said, I'm leaving. He took off. I don't blame him. Don't blame him. But he got there, you know, God fed him. I brought him, but Elijah still felt sorry for himself, and he finally said, Lord, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. Hey, listen, you get out there in that old wicked, dark world, you get feeling that way. You get to feeling that way. You get a little bit thirsty. That's why you come to church. What are you doing? I'm drawing water out of the wells of salvation. I need a pick-me-up, all right? I need some refreshment. I need some encouragement. Where are you going to get it? House of God. House of God. You'll find somebody else. There'll be somebody that'll tell you, I know how you feel. I've been there. I've been through that. Been through that. You can make it. You can make it. Hey, listen. That's why the Lord gives it to us. Hey, draw water. Draw water out of the well of salvation. There's access, all right? There's access. We can get it if we want it. But then I want you to look at that last word I said, attitude. Drawing water from the wells of salvation will do something good for your attitude. Do you remember a time when you were thirsty? Physically thirsty. Do you remember a time like that? When I think of being thirsty, really, I think of being going fishing. Going fishing. I don't know why when I was a kid we'd go fishing. Nobody ever thought it'd be a good idea to bring some water. Here you are, you know, on the bank, water in front of you. There ain't no way in the world you want to drink it. And the more you look at it, the more you think about it, the drier your mouth gets. The thirstier you become. I want to tell you something. I don't know about y'all. When I'm really thirsty, it affects my attitude. Not for the better. Man, I get cranky. Dad, let's leave. Fish ain't biting anyway. Or not enough, you know. I remember one trip, my cousin and myself were with my uncle in a small rowboat, John boat, I guess. We were floating down Village Creek down in southeast Texas. And my uncle had a rod and reel, and he was throwing it out there and hooking those bass, and they'd come up, man, they'd walk on their tail on the water, and he was reeling them in. He was having a time. Me and my cousin, he said, "Now, fellas, y'all got a worm, put it on the end of that cane pole and just let it wait in the water there." Now, remember, we're floating down a creek in a boat. You got a worm on the line, you keep getting hung up. Now, you're watching him catching all them fish. I'm getting a little thirsty. What did we bring to drink? Nothing. Nothing. I just want to tell you, it affected my attitude. I believe it affects your attitude too. I've never seen a really thirsty person that had a great attitude, all right? Never have. Now, what does the Bible say? Well, look at verse 2. See, I think verse 2 comes right in here. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and notice not be afraid." Not be afraid. One of the great things about trusting Him, when Jehovah God is your strength, there's really not much need to really fear anything. If you're like me, when I read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before Nebuchadnezzar and him saying, "Fellas, you don't bow, you're going in the furnace," okay? You do understand that. And I'm thinking, man, that would be scary. But those fellas had the strength that only comes from Jehovah God, and they could say to him, "We're not careful to answer thee." Basically, do what you want to, because we're not bound down to that image. Now, where did that lack of fear come from? It's not like people that put a sign on their car, used to be popular, "No fear." And the hillbilly said it, "Ain't scared," all right? But we saw the signs, all right? "I'm not afraid." Well, I'll tell you what, you don't want to really be able to live without that fear. Boy, you just learned to get a hold of God. It'll get some water out of the wells of salvation. You don't need to fear hell. Don't have to fear hell anymore. Man, when I got saved as a 9-year-old boy, I quit worrying about going to hell. Don't worry about that. I'm not afraid of that. Not afraid of that. Not afraid of death. And I'm not excited about the whole process of dying, okay? But I don't have to fear death, all right? No fear there. Hey, you don't have to fear what man can do to you. Why? Because drawing some water out of the wells of God, okay, the wells of salvation, takes away, it gives you peace. Peace with God. What's there to be afraid of? What's to be afraid of? And dealing with little kids. Little kids are afraid of everything. It's funny. See people that are just, I mean, they go into apoplexy if they see a cricket. You know. I've got some grandkids are that way. I want to take one and put it down their shirt, okay? And you say, just get over it, all right? Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. Listen, you as a Christian, as a child of God, you draw water from the well of salvation, you get that. Yeah, you don't have to have any fear. You don't have to fear. What a wonderful change in your attitude. But then notice that word in verse 3, "Therefore with joy, joy, shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." joy. Man, what an attitude to have. We have little kids in Sunday school on the bus. We'll sing, "I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. And down in my heart, down in my heart, I've got the joy, joy, joy." Man, we just go on and have a good time with them. Sometimes I think we get adults in the auditorium, we ought to sing that, all right? Or to just sing it. I learned years ago we'd sing, "I've got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart, down in my heart." Joy, joy, that's where it comes from. David asked God in the book of Psalms to restore unto me. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Thy salvation. Hey, that's where true joy comes from. My dad always had a saying. He said, "Happiness depends upon what happens." And in a lot of ways, that's true. We're happy because something happened to make us happy. But real joy only depends on one thing happening, and that's you trusting Him as your Savior. And man, when you go draw water out of the wells of salvation, you can do it with joy. Joy. Man, I've been saved. I'm going to Him. I've got that. Psalm 32 verse 11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 18 says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. When everything else is going downhill, salvation's not been changed. God hasn't changed. There's all kinds of trouble. Yes, there is. But the joy of my salvation is still right there. I'm still saved. I'm still saved. Boy, if you can just learn to draw from the wells of salvation, the more you do so, the more joy can be produced, all right? It'll just come forth. You say, "What are you preaching, preacher?" I'm saying to you, boy, it's accessible. It's accessible. If you'll accept Him. And then if you'll just do what He says. He said, "Look, here you are. You got problems, you need? Pray. 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 You have not because you ask not. Ask." Now, I know there's some cynics out there. And you're saying, "I asked, you didn't give it to me." Keep asking. Keep asking. I remember old Tommy Stone. Tommy Stone was an evangelist. He's an East Texas hillbilly evangelist. Worked in the oil fields. And he gave an illustration. I heard him give it. He said, it was one day, he said, "My mom had a rule, you didn't eat before supper. If you came in wanting something to eat, you wouldn't get anything. He said, it'll spoil your appetite." I've yet to find anything that did that to me, all right? But he said, "You wouldn't do it." And he said, "I was one day after school," and he said, "I told my sister, I'm getting one of those leftover biscuits from breakfast." She said, "You ain't going to get one." He said, "I'm getting one." He said, "I went in the house, and I said, 'Mom, could I please have a biscuit there? Could I just please have the biscuit? I'm starving to death.'" And of course, she said, "No, no." And he went into his routine. "Please, oh, please, Mom, I'm dying, I'm dying." Make a long story short, he said, "I came out of the house with a biscuit." Why? Because he kept asking. You need something from God, keep asking. Keep asking. Keep going back. Don't quit asking. Keep going to Him. Oh, yeah. Hey, you thirsty? Open this old book up. Open this old book up. Take a big gulp. And keep drinking. It's amazing what it'll do for you. It is absolutely amazing. This book will do for you. Stay in there. Hey, you still a little bit thirsty? Show up at the house of God. Every time. Every time. I never really liked being real, real thirsty. Okay? So you know what I try to do? I try to keep drinking. Well, same way with you as a Christian. keep drawing water out of the wells of salvation. That's why some of you run low on joy, because you're not going often enough, all right? You're just not going. Let me ask you in closing, have you dug the well? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If so, are some of those buckets getting a little bit rusty because you hadn't been using them too much? Hadn't been praying? Getting a little bit lax about reading the Bible? Hey, a little bit unfaithful in attendance in the house of God? Those things going on, hey, it shows up in the attitude that you develop. You get fearful. You don't have the joy you ought to have. Hey, listen, you can change it today, or you can at least begin to change it today if you want to. Just trust the Savior. Dip in those buckets, would you? Would you do that this morning? Listen, I believe those wells of salvation are available for me and you just as much as they were in the days of Isaiah. And I believe you can draw water out of them today if you want to. Would you stand with every head bowed, please? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. It's easy for us to get thirsty. Lord, it's easy for us to get discontented. It's easy for us to get discouraged. Lord, we just have to learn we've got to come to you and draw water out of the well.